our house. Thank you, everybody, and welcome. Thanks for coming to the show and listening to us on the radio. We really appreciate you. I am Ray Smith. I have Sandra Johnson, and we also have our guest host, Danielle Johnson, here this afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We thought that we talk about the world of insects, environments in our Tucson community, and how to combat them in your home and on your property. How'd that sound, Rigo?
It sounds great. It sounds great. I'll tell you what, I'm here with the Johnson Smith team. I got the whole family here.
Almost.
We have one more? Okay.
We're missing Derek, but he's not on the team, so we can't talk about it.
All right, Derek, if you're out there, you need to come next time.
We're working on that.
In case you guys didn't know who that was, that's Rigo RC. He is the owner of Rigo Pest Prevention. Continuously great company in the city of Tucson, taking care of your pest needs.
Yes, also an award-winning company. How many years in a row?
Well, with the Reader's Choice Awards, Tucson voting for their favorites in a bunch of categories, we've won 4 years in a row as Tucson's favorite pest control company.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Impressive. You can tell that we sit there and hear you talk.
I love it.
I didn't think this. I don't know how this man loved weeds and insects and varmints so much. He loved them so much that we want to make sure that when he's protecting your home, he's not even trying to kill them. He's trying to move them away from your house.
We want them gone. You know, I was at a B&I event once, and we had to go around and, you know, do a quick intro, you know, maybe a topic that we...
Yeah.
And so I started off by saying, I do weed. And I forgot the S. And everyone looked at me and I said, now, wait a minute. To be clear, weeds. And then someone shouted out, we're not going to judge. You know, it's okay. But I'll never forget that. That was hilarious.
I was going to say, for those of you that don't know Rigo, he definitely did not mean that the way that they heard it. Because he's like Mr. Healthy. I imagine everything you do is clean living.
Well, the shirts and the pants are color coordinated. Everything's hanging a certain way. The refrigerator, you know, it's all there.
I can see that.
Uh-huh. Well, now that we're talking about weeds, we were talking about that there's a big, big problem with weeds right now.
Man, they've exploded. You know, this winter rain has been wonderful.
Right.
You know, in the end, it's good for us, right? But it definitely brings out nuisance things, and that they're called pests, and one of those are weeds. And weeds compete with space. You know, you want that beautiful landscape to just shine, and all your ornamentals, decorative rock, your water feature. And when you've got these unsightly weeds, that's competition. Uh-huh. You know, we don't want that. So, yeah, they're exploding right now. We're definitely getting a ton of calls. You know, the HOA, you know, they're not, they can be very unfriendly about those weeds on your front lawn.
They sure can.
You know, they send those really well-crafted letters, and, you know, we love getting them, right? So that's usually what picks up the phone, is we get a phone call and someone says, yeah, I just got this nasty letter from the HOA. So we're pretty busy. You know, a lot of the companies out there, pest control companies that do weed control, we are definitely working hard right now to knock down those weeds.
What's the weed treatment? What are you trying to do when you're dealing with the weeds?
Yeah, real simple. Weeds, you know, two big things. One, you've got what's called the pre-emergent, you know, uh-huh, before the weeds come, and that's a big deal. That's going to save, you know, some cost. It's going to certainly save some money. It's also going to save on the back if you are a do-it-yourselfer.
Right.
Because if those weeds come up and you're out there pulling them, that's not fun. Pre-emergent is designed to prevent the seeds from germinating. You know, these seeds are way deep in the ground, and the idea is to, you know, get an application on that soil, soak it in real deep so that product gets down underneath the surface level, and then it's going to kill those, you know, those germinating seeds.
Right.
So when those rains hit, the weeds don't come up. So that's pre-emergent. And then should the weeds come up, you've got what's called post-application, and that post meaning after, right? And so now the weeds are up. And so, you know, everyone's familiar with a, you know, Roundup or something like that.
Right.
Go to Home Depot. And so what you're doing there is you're doing a topical application on the surface, and you're basically killing those weeds that are starting to pop up. You got to get to them early, though. Once they reach a certain size, if you spray weeds that are like 6 inches or taller, you're then going to have brown twigs. So you're going to need to pull them anyway. You know?
Right.
So you've got to get to those weeds. As soon as you see your lawn starting to get those little green speckles, get on it.
So do you do a routine service for weeds the same as you do for pest control?
We do. Yeah, we do a quarterly maintenance every 3 months. We walk, you know, I like to say police the area, walk the property, look for all any potential germinating, you know, seeds that are popping up. But the client at any time during that 3 month period, they're out in their yard and they see some weeds starting to pop up, they just give us a call. We come back and treat. So okay. it's a 90 day warranty is what it is. Yeah.
You talked about pre-emergence, and the thing you told me was that it requires water. Can you explain that it has to have water for it to work?
Yeah. So when you apply the pre-emergent on top of the surface of the desert floor, it's going to just sit there. You've got to push that active ingredient is ultimately what we're trying to do here. Uh-huh. Technically speaking, you want that active ingredient to get down deep where those seedlings are.
Right.
And so in order to do that, water is a medium, if you would, that pushes that product, that active ingredient, down below the surface. So you have to water it in. A good heavy rain can do that, but you can't trust the rains. If you know it's going to rain, the rain will provide that source of, you know, mechanical push down. But watering a pre-emergent application is pretty critical for to be effective.
You know, there are a lot of us gardeners here in Tucson that really enjoy having, especially in the winter, you can have all kinds of stuff growing really well. If we're starting to see some of those weeds popping up as gardeners, what areas are safe to use pre-emergent? What's not? If someone did come to you with a problem, what kind of advice would you give?
Yeah, you have to be real careful there. Obviously, with gardens with, you know, edible plants, if you would, the labels are pretty strict on that. You're going to have to mechanically pull those. You can't do an application with an herbicide where there are edible plants. And so definitely cultivating that soil, keeping it nice and fresh, you know, always, you know, being manicured. Mm-hmm. The moment you see something starting to sprout, you're going to go out there and begin to pull it so you can keep it nice and clean. But yeah, you want to keep herbicides away from the gardens.
What kind of a cost is there to doing that weed control?
Are you talking about like a specific dollar amount or
just generally like a budget? Can you give me a range?
So, you know, an application of a pre-emergent is going to run roughly $175, $195, $215, you know, just depending on, it's all about square footage.
Right.
How much area are we going to be actually applying to the surface? With that, we do provide a follow-up knockdown. So should anything emerge, mm-hmm. What we're saying is we're going to guarantee that nothing will emerge, but if it does, knocking those weeds down or killing those sprouting weeds is included in that price. So, you know, $175-$250 is kind of a window.
Okay. We're on the larger side of the for us it may be more than that. So another question I had is, you're talking about, you know, maybe being able to take advantage of the rains. For someone who's in an area where you have water that's moving during the rains, you know, it tends to move more quickly, is that going to just take the product and wash it away?
Yeah, that we have to be real careful with that. Runoff is a big deal in the pest control industry. And so an applicator needs to evaluate the landscape and the terrain and, you know, really what we call the grade.
Yeah.
Grade is the ground level. And how does that grade slope? Yes, you must be mindful of where the application is made and how grade flows and adjust accordingly. Again, intelligent pest control, folks.
Hey,
it's got to be intelligent.
We are here with Rego, the owner of Rego Pest Prevention.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for spending some time with us. We are here with Rego Arce, who is the owner of Rego Pest Prevention. And during the break and also before the show, we were talking about something that's happening that you haven't seen. And we're talking about pack rats and how them. And I want to talk about, you said inside rats or mice or whatever those things are. Can explain it to, and then a little bit about how bad they are.
Yeah,
right now.
You know, anybody that's lived in Tucson long enough knows the pack rat is, the one nemesis that plagues, our automobiles and our landscaping and our patio furniture. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they like to get up in the attic space. So, you know, in the rodent world in Tucson, pack rat is sort of king, right? But we've got pack rats. We've got what's called field rodents.
Right.
Okay. They literally burrow in the soil. They live out in the desert. We've got various types of ground squirrels, cute little chipmunk looking sort of dudes. And then we've got house mouse that, interestingly enough, man, we have been getting a lot of calls on the house mouse. And this is a rodent that lives indoors, hence the word house mouse. And we just, for some reason, this winter, just an influx of those phone calls. And so we're doing a lot of trapping, helping people, you know, get them removed. Typically, they're brought in, you know, transported in through cargo or merchandise or storage or something like that. Different parts of Tucson, they do live outdoors, close-knit homes like Midtown, mm-hmm. alleyways, homes that are really close to one another. But man, we, for some reason, we're just getting a lot of that this time of year.
I think you helped one of our clients who had trees that were growing over the roof, and so it was super easy access from the wash behind the house to the tree to inside the house, and you guys did a great job just kind of not only taking care of the rodents that were in the home, but also then the prevention side, making sure that all the access points were closed up.
Yeah, that's a big deal. You know, we've talked about it on this show a number of times, you know, the idea of prevention, but sealing up those openings up on top of the roof and around the eaves, making sure the garage door is sealed good, your front and back entries, the sliding door, screens on windows, you know, all these various things. These are all best practices.
Right.
And making sure all those areas are tight and screened is definitely paramount, you know, to keep the rodent intrusion into the roof line up in the attic. I got to tell you, I have the most amazing photograph of a pack rat that I spotted, and he was on the stucco wall of the house, the outside of the house, about halfway up, and he was facing down.
Whoa.
Okay. And I took the picture, and the moment I took the picture, which blew my mind, by the way, he literally turned around and then ran up on the roof and disappeared. And so the idea of the trees, Sandra, you brought, you know, certainly trees mm-hmm. touching is a big deal, but frankly,
they can come.
They can just crawl right up stucco all day long. And so tree or no tree, they're amazing. You know, the way they make their way up the structure, it's pretty wild. So,
yeah, it sounds like superheroes only in the pest world.
Superheroes.
So we can't call them heroes.
Bionic rodents. You know, I always tell people, I was just at a house the other day, and they have some major pack rat issues. But when it was all said and done, they just needed to simply clean the place up.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had maybe a year or two, 5 years ago, already made an effort to screen all up on the roof,
right.
The roof vents, roof voids, bird block vents, all these different openings. So that was done. There were no sounds of them in the attic space. There were just droppings all over, you know, by the grill and by the AC unit and over here and over there. But they had a lot of clutter and they had a lot of debris and, you know. And I told them, you know, listen, clean everything up. Make this place very inhospitable. Move things away from the house. Mm-hmm. Make sure the storage unit is away from the block wall.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little shed. Move it away so they can't get behind it where it's dark. And, you know, and basically what you're doing is you're trying to tell these rodents, there's nothing fun here. Okay. My yard is sterile and you're going to be bored. Go somewhere else.
And there's nowhere to hide.
There's nowhere to hide. And when you do that, you've got a fighting chance. Now, I would never tell them you're never going to see another rat.
Right, right.
But you have definitely made it an environment that's not fun. And that's a real game changer when you do that.
And Rigo's Pest Prevention also has a program for that, for pack rats and things like that also.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely will provide the exclusion work. We call it exclusion or proofing, you know, up on the roof. We'll go ahead and do trapping. If they're up in the attic space, we'll remove them. If they're in a prickly pear or making their nest out in certain landscaping or cactus, we do that as well. Break down the nest, remove, you know, the excess debris. The other day I was up on a roof. I'll tell you what folks need not do, and that is do not screen your dryer vent. In fact, I'll show you both before we leave today. I was up on the roof looking at this home, and somebody screened the dryer vent, and it was completely blocked with lint.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, blocked. And so I can't even imagine how deep it went down the tube, if you would, you know, the exhaust tubing for that vent. And so I told them, you know, we need to remove that, and we did. And I took out a thing of lint about this long.
It's about 12 inches. 12,
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
And that's a fire hazard. That's pretty serious.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And just to be clear, so, you know, when people thinking about their dryers venting, a lot of them do vent up through the roof.
That's right.
And so it's kind of defying gravity already, but then when you get a clog like that, you have a huge
liability. Yeah, problem. So make sure you do not screen your dryer vents, folks. Don't do that.
However, let's talk about chimneys.
Yeah, so chimneys typically, by code, they should have what's called a spark arrestor. It's a type of screening that allows the smoke and ventilation to go out, but it also controls sparks. Because certainly sparks in the desert is a bad thing, mm-hmm. There should be a spark arrestor up on top of the chimney. If that's done, then certainly it's going to prevent birds and rodents from getting in, but it's going to allow that all important smoke to vacate, the chimney. So you definitely want to have somebody look at that if you're not sure if that's in place or not. Yeah.
You were saying?
Yeah, we actually, when my family first moved to Tucson, we had raccoons in our chimney. And that first fire was not pleasant.
Yikes.
I've thought about that a lot recently now that I'm in my own home and having fires where I'm the one who's in control of it. And every little noise makes me wonder if there's a raccoon up there.
You wouldn't think we have those in the desert.
I didn't realize they were here until I saw my first one. That blew me away.
Yeah, we had purchased a house that had koi ponds, but they also had a dog. So as soon as the owner left, those koi were looking really good to that raccoon. And every night, there'd be one more down.
And you said we'd have an issue with termites also at this time. You guys are busy.
Yeah, we definitely are. They actually, this year, late 22 going into 23, it was actually a little quiet. You know, and all the termite companies, we communicate together, and it just seemed kind of a lower pressure than normal. But man, it has absolutely exploded all of a sudden. These winter rains have really just caused a lot of things to propagate.
Yeah.
Termites love that moisture, as you know, and they're really beginning to move. I think we're going to have quite the season over the next 90 days, right before that heat, that real dry heat hits, come May, June, which, by the way, is the driest time of the year. That's when termites are the quietest. Mm-hmm. I think March, April, and May are going to be ridiculous. So anybody looking for employment, please give me a call. We're going to need some strong backs for termite control in Tucson. Yeah.
I want to let you know that you're listening to Ray and Sandra on the I Am Real Estate Show. This is sponsored by the Johnson Smith team, which is Ray Smith, Sandra Johnson, and Danielle Johnson. You listen to the show on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We're going to be back in a few. We're just happy to have the owner of Rego Pest Prevention, Rego Arce, with the show, with my wife Sandra and Danielle Johnson. And just in case the kids are listening, say hi, Becky. Say hi, Noah.
I'm sure they'll enjoy that.
Nice.
The next generation to come soon. Thanks for listening, and we will be back after the break and talk a little bit more about termites and a little bit about the company. So if you know somebody looking for some employment, stay tuned.
Hi, everyone. Back to the show. We have Rego Arce. He is the owner of Rego Pest Prevention. You're here with Sandra Ray and Danielle.
Yeah, we were just before the break talking a little bit about termites and just that they're starting to rear their ugly heads right now, and you're expecting to see kind of an increase in activity very soon.
Yeah, as we mentioned in the previous segment, these rains really drive them out. So we are already seeing the indication that they're on the move. What it is they're more willing to come to the surface. They're already there. It's not like they suddenly were birthed or, they somehow were created, They're already there. It's just the topsoil is so burning hot, typically. And that's why the termite season is extremely aggressive, after the monsoons, throughout the winter and into late winter, early spring. But right now, these rains are really making it nice and conducive. So, I think the next 3 months, we are going to be very busy. They're going to be very happy. And then once that heat hits, they're going to go deep. But what happens is, again, they're still there, but they gravitate more toward under our homes because we have these amazing concrete slabs, right, that we lay down in the desert floor called foundations. And they find opportunity up into the structure through plumbing or electrical conduits and such that are deep in the soil but come way up and break through the concrete slab so they can, feed our homes with water, utilities, or whatever.
Right.
They're like ladders. That's exactly what they are. They're ladders that termites climb, and next thing you know, they're coming out of the ceiling above the shower, or in the laundry room, right? So Big transition here is, you know, if you're doing any remodeling and you are opening up floors, you're opening up walls, you're redoing the bathroom, the kitchen, you've got all the plumbing pipes sticking out, that is an excellent time to do some preventative termite treatment, especially if you're putting down, you know, some very high-end, it doesn't even have to be high-end, but if you're putting down some serious, investment on beautifying the home, the last thing you want is to have a termite company come in a year later and start using tools of destruction to try to treat these termites. Right. And you've got this beautiful, you know, tile floor or whatever it is. So with that said, you know, definitely take advantage. If you've got that floor wall open, you're redoing, you know, pulling up carpet, there's a crack in the floor, you've got the drywall off the wall and there's pipes, get someone in there, minimally have an inspection, but definitely it's a great time to do some preventative measures.
Yeah. That's good advice.
And so there are two different types of things that you would be treating. You would either do like a whole house treatment or a spot treatment, depending on what you see.
Yeah. So typically, we evaluate our treatment plans based on what I call termite pressure, mm-hmm. and as well as what the client wants. You know, some folks just they want that peace of mind knowing there's fresh material everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, then we do a full treatment, or there's termites all over the place. That's a full treatment. And every now and then you go to a home and it's very benign. You know, there's one termite tube on the back foundation. It's pretty simple. You know, and so there might be the budget conscious and so forth. There's an example where we would treat a part of the home, but we would go ahead and put the whole house under a one-year warranty. So we have options for people based on budget, based on their fears, not to play on that. But, you know, some people just are super concerned. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you want to give a client, you know, the peace of mind that makes them feel best, okay. You know, so...
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your company.
Yeah.
My company. You shared with us today that you have started a new program with your employees.
Yes. Yeah, so we're getting the gang involved more. So, you know, I've shared this, I think, in the past. I started Rego Pest because I just simply wanted to give. You know, I wanted to give in this community. I wanted to give of my time. You know, when you're employed with someone, you can only get off so many days, right. And, you know, things like that. And I want to, you know, travel the world, go to Africa, India, something like that, be a part of some ministries. And then, of course, locally, we want to support, you know, women and children in crisis is a real heartbeat for us. Families that are struggling. The foster care program is another, you know, big gem in our world. And so Rego Pest really was birthed out of that mindset to be available, have resources available to serve the community and serve those in need.
Yeah.
Now that comes from the owner's heart, right? But I really want to see that bleed into my staff. And so when we interview people, you know, we feel their heartbeat and, you know, we want to be aligned with them. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we decided to do was we offered an initiative now where our star employee, we like to recognize our employees. Recognition is so cool. Mm-hmm. And when we recognize our star employee for the month, we want to bonus them, right? So they get blessed and, you know, they get a little extra coin in their paycheck. But whatever nonprofit that they believe in, that's dear to their heart, that they want to give, we're going to match that bonus to that nonprofit.
Wow.
And we want them to deliver it, right? We want that employee to either make the call or hand deliver the check or whatever it is. And so we want to not only bless our employee, but we want them to be a part of that giving mindset.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so that's really special. And they took off. I mean, they're already throwing in the hat. Oh, I support this. I believe in that. And, you know, so I said, well, then be a star. You know, win the star employee, you know.
Oh, that's
it's
amazing.
A lot of fun. It's really cool.
Yeah, awesome. I think we've said this before, but you can't say enough how much we appreciate what you do inside our community, but also globally. You just have a heart for people and just a generous, kind philosophy that goes beyond your customers.
That's the Lord moving in our hearts. And we want to do more. I mean, really, we're just scratching the surface. So we're really hoping to be blessed more every year, right? Every year more so we can do more. That's what it comes down to.
We talked about earlier that, you know, people who might be wanting to sit back, find a good company that has good ideas in the business and also outside the business. So if someone wants to come and work for the Rego Pest Prevention, what can you tell them a little bit about?
Yeah, you know, we love interviewing people, even if we're fully staffed, we love making friends and having that relationship. So when the need comes, we're ready to go, you know. And it also allows people to interview us. And if we're a company they feel they could grow with, you know, then they can start to make decisions, even though they may already be employed. So you might be employed right now and think, well, I don't need a job. Well, but you never know, right? Life happens. So with that, you know, we're easy to reach. Our phone number, certainly the local 520-744-6177. That's our office number. Ask for Rego. And I love talking to folks. And then, of course, our email. You can send your resume or just reach out. RIGO@RIGOPEST.com. That's Rego at RegoPest.com. That's our email. And you know what? I read them. You know, I'm not sitting behind a desk somewhere or you know, flying off to, I always say Bora Bora. I have no idea where I got that from. I don't even know where Bora Bora is, but I say, you know, I'm not like off in Bora Bora, you know, but I'm a working owner, you know, and we just love being with folks. We're very relational.
Like always, we love to have you here. We're glad when you're here. We want to thank Rego Arce, who is the owner, an amazing man from Rego Pest Prevention, for being on the show today. We know we'll see you next month, so we really, really love you coming on the show. So thank you so much, Rego.
Hey, great to be here with the Johnson & Smith team.
Hi, guys. We're in the last segment of the show. We're going to talk a little bit about what we do, which is the real estate business, and hopefully have some good fun talking about that. But before we start, we want to let you know that if you're willing to, you're looking to buy or sell your home or have any question concerning the real estate, we'd love to help you. So call the Johnson Smith team at 520-904-7711.
520-373-6864.
Or 520-850-1725.
All right, you're here with the show with Raymond, Danielle, and Sandra.
So we also wanted to just briefly talk a little bit about the listings that we have available. We do have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in Corona de Tucson. It is 2,330 square feet. This home qualifies for USDA financing. We have talked a little bit with John Spurr at Inspired Life Mortgage about the USDA financing here on the show, because you can actually purchase a home with no down payment through the USDA program.
And, you know, I'm going to just jump in to say I am surprised how many people don't realize that there are options like that available. Mm-hmm. And that if you're currently renting, if you're paying what rents are going for these days, you can afford a house payment. The question is just whether or not you're going to invest into a home or you're going to invest into your landlord's pocket.
Good right. point. We actually were talking about that this morning before we left the house, because with inflation and the cost of goods, we're, you know, the egg jokes are just flying around all over all the time. I think Raymond said last time he went to the grocery store, he saw eggs at $9 a dozen.
And I ran away from that section.
And we're going to paint potatoes instead of eggs for Easter.
Right. So really one of the things you can do to stay within your budget is to control your living expenses. And so having a mortgage instead of paying rent is one of the things that is a long-term way of controlling those living expenses. And so we truly believe in home ownership, or we wouldn't do what we do.
Right. Another thing is that a lot of people, I believe, is that they're one of the things that seem to be that holds them up is they don't have enough money for down payment, and they're worrying about the down payment. But there are all kinds of this down payment assistance. There's the FHA with a certain percentage you can put down. There's the VA, which has a zero down. There's also the USDA that has zero down. So there's so many programs out there, but you don't know just by sitting there and thinking about whether I can do this or not. You have to go there and find a lender. We recommend John Spear of Inspired Life Mortgage. John Spur of Inspired Life Mortgage, and go to him, and he'll be able to find what you're looking for and let you know whether you have the, we call, buying power.
Right. So on the home that we were just talking about, that one is located at 710 East Blue Mesa Place, and it's got a really nice open floor plan, a large kitchen. It is range price now between $415,000. View fencing on the backside, so you really don't have anybody behind you. Great views.
Yes.
It just, when you walk in the door, it just feels light and bright and wonderful.
And inviting.
It does. The previous owner just really loved the home, and it shows. It shows in how well it was taken care of. The other property that we have is 7537 South Carver Lane, and that is in Academy Village. Danielle gave us kind of an overview of Academy Village last week.
Yeah, you heard us talking about that, and I am going to say that is one of the coolest places I have ever seen, and I really wish I was 55 or older so that I could live there, because it is amazing and full of activity and absolutely one of the most beautiful communities I've ever seen.
And you've just had great interactions with the people that you've met there, and just a welcoming place. That is a one bedroom, one bath, 940 square feet. And it also has view fencing in the back and some wonderful mountain views. But just a very nice place to call home. So that is it for our seller needs right now. But we also attended a class this week that was on land fraud. So we wanted to talk a little bit about fraud in real estate. And for the last few years, we have had fraud warnings with every transaction
right.
we do.
Right.
So those have been really related primarily to buyers that are buying.
Mm-hmm.
And the scenario is that someone will have their email address hacked, and a hacker will get a hold of their, not only their contact information, but maybe they've got everyone who's involved in the transaction, real estate agents, title companies, and they will mimic an email. They sit and wait for an opportunity to jump in and ask for money to be wired to an account. So once money is wired, it's pretty much gone. It's very difficult to get back. And
yes.
that's wire fraud, the way that we've, you know, been warned about it over the last several years. And so we typically will tell buyers, you know, if you don't have to wire money, just don't do it, because you can bring in a cashier's check when you come into closing. Those are certified funds. And so you can bring that in, and you're able to close on your transaction. So we discourage wiring at all, just in case. There are people that knew, they've been warned, they're familiar with the scenarios that are out there, but because they're expecting that email,
mm-hmm.
they don't think anything of it when the email comes.
Right.
And so they kind of have a sense of where your transaction is. If they follow it, they're sitting silently following. And so we always recommend to our clients, you know, if you can avoid wiring funds, just avoid it. But this week, we were in a class at Pioneer Title Agency, and they were talking about land fraud, which is, I think, more of an emerging problem than what we've seen in the past.
Right, right. And I think what they said to me is that you don't see it much on property, because property, most people, on homes, you want to see that home.
Right.
You want to go and take a look at it, look inside, or have somebody say, hey, this is what this three-bedroom, two-bath looks like. I want to go inside and look at it. When it comes to land, you're just going to drive by it. You're not going to really pay attention to what else is around it. So you don't really know who actually owns that property, or if the property's there.
And it could be a for sale by owner
yeah.
piece of land. It also could be a piece of land that has been listed for sale with an agent. And like Raymond was saying, you may just be, you know, hey, I'll just go drive by this and take a look at it, and ready to write an offer at that point.
And so we had to sit there, and with this class was really, really interesting. And it talked about the risk. And so to me, it was just making sure that you, as a buyer or as a seller, that you pay attention to the risk, you pay attention to the emails that you're getting, look at the syntax, look at the spelling, look at the grammar. And if the grammar doesn't sound right, it's probably not. And one thing it always said, if you have any question, just call the escrow officer or call your agent. One of us will tell you what the process needs to do, because once what they're doing is that they're asking you to send the money, or you were told to wire money at a certain account, and then they call you back and say, hey, you know what, we changed the account number to this. If you don't understand why they changed the account, call your escrow officer. Hey, did you just send me an email saying to change the account? And if they say, yes, I sent you, this should be dated so-and-so, so-and-so, then that gives you confidence to do that. What they're saying is, they make sure you take that one extra step, because once that money is transferred, it's gone. Because they were talking about the fact that the account with the bank on the other side looking at it, not looking at who picks up the money, just making sure that the account that that you're sending money to is going to account that they have. As long as the accounts match, that's all that matters, and the money is gone. So you need to be really, really careful when you're doing that. And we're not here. The whole idea of this segment is not to scare you, but to remind you and to keep you aware and keep it in the back of your mind when you're going through this process. We're also going through a home process, and going through a home, you don't want something like this to sit there and affect you.
Yeah, and I think with the going back to the fact that the land is much easier to commit fraud on, because there isn't someone that has to be there to give you access to it. One of the things that the title company that had the class, Pioneer Title, said that they're starting to do is that they send letters to the landowner, because what happens is somebody is impersonating them and they're listing the property for sale or claiming to be that person. They probably have a fake ID that has the correct name on it, but they are impersonating the seller. And so one of the things that they're doing is that they are sending letters to the address on the tax records to make sure that that landowner knows that someone is trying to sell the land.
Yeah.
And so that may be a letter that even if you were to receive, you might dismiss it because you think that that the letter is the scam. But
yes.
I think it's really important that you read those things and reach out to,
company. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever the title company is.
I would say too, this is a really good reminder of how important it is to trust your agent. Whoever you're working with, you need to make sure you're working with a real estate agent who is going to do that research for you and who's going to warn you of things that can come up, keep you in the loop on everything, and who's going to be available to answer those questions so that if you do start to wonder, hey, I haven't seen this name before.
Right.
Yeah.
You can call your real estate agent and say, I don't know if this is legit. I don't know if I should be sending this. And that real estate agent will go and make sure that it is the right,
right.
person.
So we don't have necessarily the tools that they have at Title. They're actually, they're investing in software that is doing all the investigations on IP addresses and scanning
weird.
IDs. I mean, they actually have systems in place because the fraud is so good that you have to have the tools to be able to catch it.
To counter,
so,
yes.
Yeah. So anyway, and you're right. You want to be connected to the right agent, to the right title company. You want to make sure that somebody is really digging into those things, because there are a lot of people out there working really hard to take money from you. So we are down to the last few seconds here of the show. We would like to thank our sponsors that make this possible every week. That's Horizon Inspections, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, Rego Pest Prevention, love you, Rego, Pioneer Title Agency, and we have a new sponsor coming on, Caring Transitions. We should be hearing from them in a couple weeks. So we hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and we thank you for being here with us on the I Am Real Estate Show.